This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
.713 Governor Landry, you're more than welcome to call in if you like, or call Jordan Fiegel or email us, and we'll let you come on and talk about this. But when it comes to the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion, we've discussed it extensively here in the morning with a lot of different signs, a lot of different people. And hear the governor say this last week, I thought was disingenuous at best.
What happens when we pay people not to engage in their trade? The trade goes away.
Now, that is so misleading to me for so many different ways. And I say this, Governor, with all due respect, because the only reason we're paying people not to do this is because the oyster industry complained so much that in order to do what was necessary, as the scientists say, for coastal restoration, they said, okay, we're going to, and we'll get more into this with Zizarang in a minute, but because of coastal depletion and erosion, you used to have to go 20 miles. Now you have to go 2 miles. So you're going to have to go back to going 20 miles. So we're going to compensate you for that. Tim, I'm going to play this again. So for the governor to say,
you know what happens when we pay people not to engage in their trade? The trade goes away.
That's just silly to me, or foolish. Or I got to ask, Governor, do you think people are really that stupid to think that this economic argument, that to make it seem as though the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion, that we're paying people not to work, that's the biggest munch of malarkey I've ever heard in my life, I think. Zizarang joins us right now, Louisiana State Representative. How you doing, Jerome?
I'm doing great, Tommy. Thanks for having me on this morning.
I know you got to deal with the governor. I don't, but that to me, I just couldn't believe that when I heard that. I've heard a lot of different angles on this, and all the time we've spoken about it, but at no point is anybody trying to pay people not to work, are they?
Well, I don't know. If we applied that to all the trades, we would be in worse economic shape than we are now. But the other aspect about this is they don't have a right to fish. It's a state resource. All the shrimp, the oysters, they belong just as much to you and me or for the guy in Shreveport to Shreva as they do the fishermen. The state gives them the privilege to fish, but it's not, doesn't give them a right to fish. That's a state resource. So this whole aspect about having to compensate them, quite frankly, we are mitigating for that, though. There is some aspect of the project.
But again, for his argument, I would say, Governor, then don't give them any money. You don't want to encourage them not to fish. Then the answer is not to stop construction on the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. The answer is to eliminate any compensation or anything to offset that and say, okay, look, you know, you got to go a little bit farther than you had to go before. Go fish, but we're not going to pay you not to. His argument kind of collapses on itself there, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I understand. There is no doubt, based upon his comments in the committee hearing, that he's not a fan of the project. And again, I've talked to the governor about this. I'm not saying he's anti-diversion. And he said he's not anti-diversion. He just doesn't want this project. He thinks the cost is too much, and there's other smaller diversions that we can do. Again, I don't want to speak for the governor, but I do know that he is not necessarily a fan of this big project. The other concerning things, too, is that when people, and there are other people at the table who said other things as well, but when they say that we're destroying communities and destroying fisheries, and that's completely untrue. I mean, you can find things in the EIS, the Environmental Impact Statement, again, which has been studied over years to ensure that the benefits of the impacts of the project are being addressed. But you have to pick and choose certain things. Like, obviously, it's going to have an impact to brown shrimp. It's going to have an impact to oysters. It's not going to destroy them, and it's not going to destroy communities. So you have to look past the positive aspects of the EIS, or just what the EIS says, where it says that it will be an overall benefit protecting Louisiana communities, infrastructure, and also enhance fisheries and protect fisheries. So to say that it's destroying communities and fisheries in Louisiana is patently false and untrue.
Talk about the science involved that went into the development of this, if you will, Z, because you've been involved from the beginning.
Yeah, and it has been studied for a long time. Again, it's been over a decade in terms of when I was at CPRA, they started working on this project, and that was over 12 years ago. And they have extensively studied and evaluated and engineered this project. They also sometimes they'll say that, you know, they started the project without all the engineering. And that's untrue, too. They're using a Seymour process, contractor at risk, where DOTD does these all the time. The engineering is done. It's just parts of the aspect like land acquisition and other things that weren't done. So as to say that it wasn't studied, or to say that they did it without the engineering being complete, is not true. And there is no other project in CPRA's history that they've been hundreds of millions of dollars of projects, billions actually, but projects on the scope this size, this is the largest one. There is no other project that has had or engaged in more study and engineering than this project. And it will provide a positive benefit to communities, save communities, and restore and protect our coast.
Yeah, let me ask you about that when we come back, because I know Keith Hinckley very well, and I see a quote here at the NOLA.com article. I guess he testified. This is from Mark Schlefstein. Plaquemines Parish officials disagreed with what the Restore the Mississippi River Delta Coalition had to say and the Coalition to Restore Coastal Louisiana had to say about the diversion project, saying that Keith Hinckley said that why sacrifice one community? We're just as important as the rest of the state. And I live in Belle Chasse. I live right down the street from Mitch Jurisich's son, who's the chairman of Louisiana Oyster Task Force. So I know these people personally. I'll look at my eye to eye. I see them all the time. But I guess I'm just wondering, are we sacrificing Plaquemines Parish, the community, or just one aspect of that? And if we don't do this, well, then what's Plaquemines going to look like? Because I live near the high school, and I don't want to be able to fish out my front door. So we'll talk about that and more with Z Zarang when we come back, talking about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. 720 traffic now, WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Jerome Z Zarang, state representative, about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion Senate hearings last week. Delta Coalition saying the governor's comment signaled a dramatic shift in Louisiana's coastal program, which has been built on science and public good over politics. Plaquemines Parish President Keith Hinckley saying, why sacrifice one community? We're just as important as the rest of the state. Now, my question to you, Z, is as a Plaquemines Parish resident that lives near the high school, are we sacrificing the community or one aspect of the community? And if this doesn't get done, what does Plaquemines Parish look like without the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion? Because I don't know. I honestly don't. I'm just trying to do what's best for everybody in the parish, what's best for everybody in the state. And if the fishermen are inconvenienced, well, we're all inconvenienced in one way or the other with things that have to be done for the greater good. And again, I live right down the street from Mitch George's son. I'll look him in the eye and say this. So you tell me, what does the science say? You've been involved with this for a long time. And if this is built as constructed, is this going to destroy? Is this going to sacrifice Plaquemines Parish?
No, Tommy, not at all. Not sacrifice the community and not sacrifice the fisheries. In fact, if folks would read the EIS, they would say in the EIS, it basically says places like Myrtle Grove, Wood Park, Susie Park, Hermitage, Grand Bayou, Happy Jack, all places in Plaquemines Parish will experience more flooding without the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. So it's protecting the people and it's restoring and helping protect the resource as well. You know, if I were in Plaquemines Parish and I had a gas station, a hotel, a restaurant, a hardware store, I'd be all over the parish, President, as to why we aren't actually building this project. Could you imagine the economic boom, a $3 billion project? And in fact, Dr. Lauren Scott did a study At a minimum, over $147 million will be injected into the parish. So from an economic perspective, it makes sense. From a flood protection, community protection, it makes sense. You know, you have people, they're at the table in the hearing, you know, and they say this one particular individual often says that, well, you know, diversions and the river, it can't build land above sea level. Well, Tommy, I live in Terrebonne Parish. It's a coastal parish. In fact, we're in worse shape than Plaquemines because we don't have access to the river. Mm-hmm. But my property sits off of Bayou Black at a +8, which, you know, is not much. But down here, that's great. Well, I can assure you, it didn't get at +8 from T. Bob Boudreau in the early 1800s with a hand crank and two mules building up that land. Mm-hmm. It was the river through the tributaries and distributaries building up the coast. So if you're saying this, you're being one of two things. Either you're being intentionally deceitful and trying to mislead people, or you're completely ignorant of the deltaic process. It's one or the other. So the fact that it won't build land or it's going to destroy communities, or and yet they also said that the Mississippi River, will, you know, it doesn't have enough sediment, it can't build land. Well, I agree with the fact that there is not as much sediment. In fact, 50% less sediment is coming down the river than it has historically. But, Tommy, we're only using less than 1%. In the master plan, it says that if we just use 10%, not all of it, what's available, just 10% of what's available, we could achieve all the land building goals in the master plan through the diversions, dredging. And again, they say we should dredge. 2/3 of the money is going to dredging. So to say that we're not dredging is not true. This project is good for the resource, good for the communities, and good for fisheries.
So I thought initially that this was all about the opposition was all about getting more compensation for the fishermen and oystermen. But then to hear the governor say,
well, unfortunately, I'm not really sure, because the TIG, you know, the trustee group sent a letter, the implementation group sent a letter to the state over a month ago, and basically saying, I'll say this as politely as I can, you know, either defecate or extricate yourself from the commode. Do something. Let us know what you're going to do. And they still haven't responded. So at this point, we're waiting for the state to determine what they're actually going to do. Quite frankly, I think they're slow walking it until the new administration gets in place. But I don't know. Everyone's waiting to see what CPRA is going to do with this project.
You're talking about the new administration in Washington?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
All right, Z, thank you. Appreciate your time and the info. Mark Rosa joins us as we come back. Take a look at Monday Morning Markets with Mark, 7:30 time for WWL First News.